Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yale Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to ask Dr. Lightman about nature. It seems that nature kind of fell out of balance. Earthquakes, hurricanes, fires, whatnot. Different frightening things, very harmful things, and we're trying to understand why is it happening, where does it come from, and especially how can we make things better. Be with us? Yeah, please. Yeah, our planet has this kind of perfect kind of balance that allowed life to develop. The vegetative, the animate, people. And we see that lately, it seems that the balance in nature is distorted very aggressively, destroying everything that was built on our planet. And on this show, we'd like to understand what is balance in nature and what is disbalance. And we'd like to start from a state of balance. What is that balance that allowed Earth to be a planet that withholds life, supports life? First of all, I'd say that it's not exactly so, in my opinion, that Earth is in a balanced state. It is relatively balanced, in a relatively balanced state, and this form is either leaning more to the right or to the left, like a swing. Yeah, kind of. There is heating up, cooling down, explosions, earthquakes. There are lengthy periods of cold and heat, and people experience different kind of plagues. We think that by the power of our own arm, that's how I put it, because science is also an arm, we can arrange a calm and good life for ourselves. And it was never so in history. And people never thought that they can control nature. And here we've reached a state where we have heating, cooling. We have everything that we want in order to sustain ourselves, our body, in a comfortable, convenient state like never before. Even kings suffered from cold, heat, and also other problems like mosquitoes and germs and outbreaks of disease and so on. And that today we can provide almost every citizen with a relatively safe life, convenient life, it's just a sign of our times. And suddenly I see that people, they're so used to it that they think that they deserve it. Why not? Like you said, suddenly Earth that's supposed to be balanced isn't balanced. So I don't think that this is how we're supposed to look at things. We live on a planet inside of which there's burning fire and thousands of degrees of Celsius. So that metal and lava, suppose, these are rocks that everything there is cooking hard. That actually what we have on the surface of the sun, it's almost the same. We have almost the same in the depth of Earth. We're alive thanks to this very thin crust that isolates us from the fire that's burning on the inside. There are even different such inclinations to reach the magma, what's inside Earth, and to to allow it to burst out because it's under great pressure down there. But one way or another, I don't think that we were ever in a better state. Really, our situation is good. We can provide each and every person with almost convenient conditions for their existence. A person doesn't have to sit in some corner and to constantly try and warm himself with some fur that he took off some animal. He doesn't have to try and keep himself warm around the fire and around him winds and rain. He doesn't have to suffer from the sun and terrible heat waves because he can hide in an air-conditioned place. He's a different person, and the conditions are different, but we have to understand that we have to pay for it. Why? Because nature uses all of these changes in our external conditions in order to awaken man towards a certain development. Because nature has a purpose to lead man towards balance with itself, for man to be balanced with it. And being balanced with nature, it means that man has to become an integral part of nature according to the extent of his development. If there are the degrees of the development of the still, the vegetative, and the animate, these parts of nature, they just keep their balance with nature instinctively. And if they can't keep it, they die. As simple as that. It has to do with animals and plants and even inanimate matter, dead matter. And we have to understand that also man is part of nature. And he goes through the same developmental phases, stages, and if he doesn't keep balance with nature, according to the degree of his development, his state, then he'll have to really change in order to understand and feel and decide and implement the balance. Because man, as opposed to the rest of the parts of nature, the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate, he understands, he feels, he has science, meaning he can investigate where he is. What are the conditions working on him, and what are the responses that he can position counter to these conditions? But his balance with nature is something that he will have to keep. This is a higher rule. And so, nature that gradually develops and gives us a new form of life every time, it waits. It expects for us to change ourselves in order to keep the balance. That's the price. The price is a safe, good, comfortable, nice, convenient life where we rise from degree to degree, and this is what we can acquire. The price is that we have to constantly keep ourselves balanced with nature, and on our levels of nature, we're not on the animate degree like animals, we're on the speaking level. The speaking, it means that it agrees with the forces that develop it. It learns with the help of science, studies these forces, changing itself in accordance with these forces in order to be in balance and harmony with them. Because if not, then nature arranges balance and harmony, the so-called equivalence, in a very harsh way. By force, and this force comes to us in a way that, again, we can feel an ice age, and cold, and heat, and plagues, and different problems. and also not on part of nature itself, but on part of people, that unless they reach balance with nature, if this isn't what worries them, then they start making calculations regarding each other and their wars, up to the point of nuclear wars. So we have to understand that we're in a system, and the system forces us to reach balance, both between us and the degrees of the still vegetative and animate, and also between us, among all of humanity, with the degree of the great, big, comprehensive nature, the essence of nature, let's call it, its program, its goal, to lead all parts of nature to balance, to ideal balance. In short, connection. This is its expression. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about, and it explains it. And why do we have to do it? Mankind, in the meantime, doesn't really want to hear about it because it's obligating. And the wisdom of Kabbalah explains that in order to reach balance with nature, first of all, we have to reach balance between us. Balance between us, it means that we'll feel that we're all a part of one system, that we're all interconnected, that everyone is interdependent and is committed to everyone else. And we have to constantly keep our balance, being balanced with one another. If we start learning how to do that, then as a result, we'll learn how by keeping our relations balanced, we can stay balanced with nature. And then our life will, of course, be set in a good and convenient direction for sure. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah explains, and it also explains how to do it. And in the meantime, we're not really listening, but nature has the power. All in all, we're inside of nature, and therefore there's no doubt that nature will win, and whether we'll like it or not, we'll have to connect in a good and nice way, unite, and reach a state where both that we're balanced amongst us and also with the general nature. This is a general formula that works in the entire universe and maybe also beyond it, something that we didn't discover yet, but suppose, as great as it all is, but all in all, it all works according to a simple formula. All the forces of nature have to be balanced between them in one integral system. What is balance? Balance means that every part completes the general system by being in its place, that it feels how the general system operates on it, understanding what is demanded of it, so that the entire system will be balanced, and it realizes its part in bringing the system to balance. I have many questions about what you just said. It was really intriguing. I want to go back to the beginning. You said that we actually live around this ball of fire, and what separates us from that burning lava is a thin crust, Earth's crust that we live on. What does it mean to live on this crust where beneath everything's, you know, boiling? It means that above us, there is cold of minus 200 and something degrees Celsius up to the point of the absolute zero, according to Kelvin scale. And beneath us, there are thousands of degrees of Celsius of heat, and we're in between. So from above, we're kept by the atmosphere, and from below, we're kept by Earth's crust. And therefore, we can exist. We're forgetting that both this and also that, meaning what's above us, the atmosphere, and what's beneath us, the crust, that these are very delicate systems. and you can really shatter them very quickly, corrupt them, and then, for sure, we'll have no future. And therefore, we have to think, how do we keep our atmosphere, and how do we keep Earth's crust? How do we protect it? And many people yell about it. People that care for ecology, they think that it has to do with our corporeal attitude towards all these things. I think that, as the wisdom of Kabbalah explains, it depends on a person's spiritual state. Spiritual state, it means the relations between people, that we, as a mankind, our main force is the force of thought, of attitude, of love and hate. And specifically by these forces, do we operate in the most significant way? Do we influence ecology? And it's not about how much we burn or don't burn fossil fuels or anything else. There is a perception that social ecology that speaks exactly about what you just said, that deals with the relations of different populations and their attitude towards the environment, saying that one of the main factors, reasons for the ecological disbalance is the way that people treat each other. They speak also about capitalism and also about the way that people treat each other. What's the relation between ecological crises? I understand that you agree with this perception. So what's the connection, the relation between ecological crises and the relations between people? Seemingly, it seems as two unrelated things. Our problem is that we think that we understand what's going on, but we don't understand the general system at all. And therefore, we allow ourselves to do things that later on we have no idea. Where did the hurricanes come from, and the tsunamis and earthquakes and the outburst of volcanoes, eruption of volcanoes and fires and so on and so forth. And all those things that are coming up, the natural disasters, and not only natural disasters, because we're also creating disbalance in the social system. We don't know, but where do all the wars come from, crises, financial crises, industry, and so on? It all comes as a result of the disbalance in our relations, where everyone builds themselves on the ruins of the others. And this is the problem. It's an educational problem. I understand that the bad relations between people, like you described it, that everyone builds their future by stepping on others, will make it so that on the human level, we'll have problems, crises, disbalance, wars, economical crisis, and so on. What does it have to do with what you said in the beginning, that it also influences the ecological state? What's the relation between these two levels, the relations between people and the state of the ecosystem that we live in? To add to what Oren said, it is actually the connection between people and some system of forces that seemingly has nothing to do with our relations, so it seems to us. That's true. We don't know what the connection is. We don't understand the connection. The connection is hidden, unseen. People have this thought that it exists, but really, we can't discover the facts for it. This isn't something that we can study because we are incapable of understanding what are the relations between people, how much they cause even humanity and all the more, human society and all the more the degrees of the still vegetative inanimate that are beneath us, the impact that it has on them. This is something that is hidden from us. But you say that there is a connection. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the connection is very tight, direct, and the nature of the still vegetative inanimate entirely depends on the relations between people. Can you explain this point a bit? The relation exists, it's direct, and man determines the state of the still vegetative in the animate, which actually means that if today nature, it seems to us that it's kind of falling out of balance, hurricanes, floodings, a million different things. So it's not that it happens, that it happened by chance, but because at a certain point, we, as a mankind, influenced these things, and this is why they came. Yes. So how does it work? What does the wisdom of Kabbalah say? How does the connection between these levels work? How does man impact all of this? We exist in one general system. And in this general system, all the degrees of the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and the speaking are all interdependent and interconnected. If from below up, from the still to the vegetative to the animate to the speaking, we see the connection because we're on the speaking degree, and therefore we can inquire and understand how we're dependent on the still vegetative and the animate. But how do we that are on the highest level, on the ladder of the still vegetative animate and the speaking, how do we influence what's beneath us, the inanimate, vegetative, and animate worlds? This is something that we don't know. We can say, you know, like, all the green organizations say, the different environmentalists say that care for these different things. They say that they as if have proof, but they have no proof. It's all assumptions. And what does the wisdom of Kabbalah say? It says that the thing is that really all of nature is one system, and we have to care for the general balance. And the general balance, it especially depends not on our physical actions, like claim all those that fight for ecology, but our balance depends on the relations between people. This is actually the unique thing that the wisdom of Kabbalah claims, that only in the relations between people, and not because the burning of fuels or different other things, can we reach balance, but only in our relations. What do you mean by relations? Relations that we will be balanced with each other, like in a single mechanism, like in a single system, where everyone feels that he belongs to everyone, and that he cares for everyone, and that also everyone correspondingly have to care for him. And this is how we reach a single structure. If we'll do that, then there will be no problems. In the still, the vegetative, and the animate, meaning we'll have no problems living on this planet? No. Why? Because by that we balance the system. We put it back together. What is it about the relations between people that creates such a powerful force that all the rest of the systems depend on it? Like you say, that all the different levels of nature depend on our relations. Why is it so powerful? And because we're at the peak of development. And therefore, the more we care about being balanced with each other, building the correct system of relations between us, a balanced system where no one receives from society more than he needs in order to exist, and all the surplus he gives to society, then by that we keep the balance both between us and also from our level, it influences all the lower levels. So, question. You said that nature gave people conditions like they never had before. Today, everyone can live a good life. He doesn't have to warm himself around a fire. If we were connected in a good and nice way, then surely we could provide this for everyone easily. And you said that these optimum conditions that we got in the beginning of the 21st century, in return, nature is as if they're expecting us to behave correspondingly. And also what you said about the atmosphere and the crust of Earth crusts. When you explained that, I felt that we're like in an incubator, that we have the perfect conditions, and now inside this incubator, something has to grow. What does mankind have to grow into now in order for things to be okay so that the entire system will function properly? What has to grow in this greenhouse? We see that all parts of nature are in contradiction with one another. In the animate world, in the vegetative world, in the inanimate world, everything is in contradiction, in struggle. And from the struggle, everything reaches its balance. So the connection we should have between us as human beings, at first it was also like on the animate level, until the, let's say, beginning of the 20th century. From the beginning of the 20th century and on, we have to reach a connection on the speaking level, meaning in our relations, from the point that mankind started feeling that it exists as an integral system. And here we have to understand that if we'll do that, then... And doing it is especially in uniting our desires, our intentions, helping each other. And if we do that, we will be able to build a good life. When you're talking about one system and helping each other and good intentions, and you said that everyone should feel that he belongs to everyone and as a result he cares for everyone, when you say everyone, eventually at the end of development it really has to be everyone, meaning beyond nations and factions and races, even including the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate, including the entire universe. And we have to make it happen, and we have to feel this unity to the fullest. Dr. Leitman, are you a naive person? Last question. I don't think that I'm naive. I studied biocybernetics, how systems work, biological systems, biocybernetics. This is my profession. I'm not naive. But I see that we have no choice in one way or another, through blows, humanity and nature has time and patience. Man is small and weak and feeling, so he'll have to bend and keep the general law of nature. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.